Today is the 28th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Thrilled to be here with you today. Grateful, above all, to be here with you today to take this next step forward on the grand adventure through the book of 2 Samuel at this point, but through the Bible. So we are learning of David's story. And we've been traveling with David since he was a boy. And we have seen a grand, horrible set of actions that have led, to a man being killed because the king took his wife and she's now his wife. Her name is Bathsheba. But I mentioned yesterday as we were going through this, it's not like David does not escape consequence here. I mean, maybe he should have been thrown out of the kingdom. I don't know. He's not. God keeps him king and the relationship is restored, but this does not go away without consequence. David's family is never the same after this, and we will start to see that right away today. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Now David's son Absalom had a beautiful sister named Tamar. In the course of time, David's son Amnon fell madly in love with her. But Amnon became frustrated because he was so lovesick over his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and to Amnon it seemed out of the question to do anything to her. Now Amnon had a friend named Jonadab, the son of David's brother Shimeah. Jonadab was a very crafty man. He asked Amnon, "Why are you, the king's son, so depressed every morning? Can't you tell me?" So Amnon said to him, "I'm in love with Tamar, the sister of my brother Absalom." Jonadab replied to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be sick. When your father comes in to see you, say to him, 'Please let my sister Tamar come in so she can fix some food for me. Let her prepare the food in my sight so I can watch. Then I will eat from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be sick. When the king came in to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please let my sister Tamar come in, so she can make a couple of cakes in my sight. Then I will eat from her hand." So David sent Tamar to the house, saying, "Please go to the house of Amnon, your brother, and prepare some food for him." So Tamar went to the house of Amnon, her brother, who was lying down. She took the dough, kneaded it, made some cakes while he watched, and baked them. But when she took the pan and set it before him, he refused to eat. Instead, Amnon said, "Get everyone out of here." So everyone left. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the cakes into the bedroom. Then I will eat from your hand." So Tamar took the cakes that she had prepared and brought them to her brother Amnon in the bedroom. As she brought them to him to eat, he grabbed her and said to her, "Come on, get in bed with me, my sister." But she said to him, "No, my brother, don't humiliate me. This just isn't done in Israel. Don't do this foolish thing. How could I ever be rid of my humiliation? And you would be considered one of the fools in Israel. Just speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." But he refused to listen to her. He overpowered her and humiliated her by raping her. Then Amnon greatly despised her. His disdain toward her surpassed the love he had previously felt toward her. Amnon said to her, "Get up and leave." But she said to him, "No, I won't. For sending me away now would be worse than what you did to me earlier." But he refused to listen to her. He called his personal attendant and said to him, "Take this woman out of my sight and lock the door behind her." Now, she was wearing a long robe, for this is what the king's virgin daughters used to wear. So Amnon's attendant removed her and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the long robe she was wearing. She put her hands on her head and went on her way, wailing as she went. Her brother Absalom said to her, "Was Amnon your brother with you? Now be quiet, my sister. He is your brother. Don't take it so seriously." Tamar, devastated, lived in the house of her brother Absalom. Now King David heard about all these things and was very angry. But Absalom said nothing to Amnon, either bad or good. Yet Absalom hated Amnon because he had humiliated his sister Tamar. 2 years later, Absalom's sheep shearers were in Baal Hazor near Ephraim. Absalom invited all the king's sons. Then Absalom went to the king and said, "My shearers have begun their work. Let the king and his servants go with me." But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, we shouldn't all go. We shouldn't burden you in that way." Though Absalom pressed him, the king was not willing to go. Instead, David blessed him. Then Absalom said, "If you will not go, then let my brother Amnon go with us." The king replied to him, "Why should he go with you?" But when Absalom pressed him, he sent Amnon and all the king's sons along with him. Absalom instructed his servants, "Look, when Amnon is drunk, and I say to you, strike Amnon down. Kill him then and there. Don't fear. Is it not I who have given you these instructions? Be strong and courageous." So Absalom's servants did to Amnon exactly what Absalom had instructed. And all the king's sons got up, each one, rode away on his mule, and fled. While they were still on their way, the following report reached David. "Absalom has killed all the king's sons. Not one of them is left." Then the king stood up and tore his garments and laid down on the ground. All his servants were standing there with torn garments as well. Jonadab, the son of David's brother Shimeah, said, "My lord should not say, 'They have killed all the young men who are the king's sons,' for only Amnon is dead. This is what Absalom has talked about from the day that Amnon humiliated his sister Tamar. Now don't let my lord the king be concerned about the report that has come saying, 'All the king's sons are dead.' It is only Amnon who is dead." In the meantime, Absalom fled. When the servant who was the watchman looked up, he saw many people coming from the west on a road beside the hill. Jonadab said to the king, "Look, the king's sons have come. It's just as I said." Just as he finished speaking, the king's sons arrived, wailing and weeping. The king and all his servants wept loudly as well. But Absalom fled and went to King Talmai, son of Ammihud of Geshur. And David grieved over his son every day. After Absalom fled and went to Geshur, he remained there for 3 years. The king longed to go to Absalom, for he had since been consoled over the death of Amnon. John 17. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he looked upward to heaven and said, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, so that your Son may glorify you. Just as you have given him authority over all humanity, so that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me at your side with the glory I had with you before the world was created. I have revealed your name to the men you gave me out of the world. They belonged to you, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they understand that everything you have given me comes from you, because I have given them the words you have given me. They accepted them and really understand that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I am praying on behalf of them. I am not praying on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those you have given me, because they belong to you. Everything I have belongs to you, and everything you have belongs to me, and I have been glorified by them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them safe in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, just as we are one. When I was with them, I kept them safe and watched over them in your name that you have given me. Not one of them was lost, except the one destined for destruction, so that the scripture could be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I am saying these things in the world, so they may experience my joy completed in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I set myself apart on their behalf, so that they too may be truly set apart. I am not praying only on their behalf, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their testimony, that they will all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. I pray that they will be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. The glory you gave to me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world will know that you sent me, and you have loved them, just as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, so that they can see my glory that you gave me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, even if the world does not know you, I know you, and these men know that you sent me. I made known your name to them, and I will continue to make it known, so that the love you have loved me with may be in them, and I may be in them. Psalm 119, 81 through 96. Calf. I desperately long for your deliverance. I find hope in your word. My eyes grow tired as I wait for your promise to be fulfilled. I say, when will you comfort me? For I am like a wineskin dried up in smoke. I do not forget your statutes. How long must your servant endure this? When will you judge those who pursue me? The arrogant dig pits to trap me, which violates your law. All your commands are reliable. I am pursued without reason. Help me, They have almost destroyed me here on the earth, but I do not reject your precepts. Revive me with your loyal love, that I might keep the rules you have revealed. Lamed. O Lord, your instructions endure. They stand secure in heaven. You demonstrate your faithfulness to all generations. You established the earth and it stood firm. Today they stand firm by your decrees, for all things are your servants. If I had not found encouragement in your law, I would have died in my sorrow. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I belong to you. Deliver me, for I seek your precepts. The wicked prepare to kill me, yet I concentrate on your rules. I realize that everything has its limits, but your commands are beyond full comprehension. Proverbs 16, 6 and 7. Through loyal love and truth, iniquity is appeased. Through fearing the Lord, one avoids evil. When a person's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he even reconciles his enemies to himself. Okay, so we can see a clear distinction in David's story. There is a before and after the taking of Bathsheba. And that is often so very, very true in our lives. We may have these traumas or these choices that we made, and there is a before and an after to it. Everything may be redeemed, but the consequences are what they are. And so in today's reading from 2 Samuel, some pretty terrible things happen in David's personal life. His daughter Tamar is raped by her brother Amnon. Amnon is subsequently killed 2 years later. So this resentment and bitterness is brewed, and this conspiracy has been plotted by his brother Absalom to avenge his sister's rape. Absalom is then exiled in Geshur, that is in the north, for 3 years. Interestingly enough, the Old Testament city of Geshur is also thought to be the New Testament city of Bethsaida, where Jesus ministered, and several of the disciples, that was their hometown. So in the Gospel of John, we have spent the last several days listening to the final conversation that Jesus had with his friends before his freedom was taken. And we concluded this conversation today with a prayer. And this prayer is famous. It's one of the most heartfelt and engaging things Jesus ever spoke. It is called the High Priestly Prayer. This is the way to have eternal life, Jesus said. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. That's pretty simple words. The way to eternal life is to know God. Not to know about God. Not to do big things on behalf of God. To know God. The study of God and work for God. They're very important things. They're a natural outpouring of a life spent in relationship with God. Doesn't happen the other way around. Knowing God in an intimate friendship is our primary purpose on this earth and leads us into eternal life. Jesus said, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They don't belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. So this prayer is not to remove his friends from the earth, but to send them into the world armed with the truth of God's word and the spirit of truth within them. And notice these words. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them. I mean, think about that. According to Jesus, we are commissioned and sent into the world in the same way Jesus was. Like, don't diminish that down into some kind of metaphor or something less than it is. We are sent into the world as the Father sent Jesus. Do we, like, ever live from that place? Do our lives ever reflect that reality? And, you know, we can think, well, that was over Jesus' disciples, and they did, you know, change so much. They got this special commissioning, and they got a version of the Holy Spirit that other people could never have. We could never have that. Jesus said, and I quote, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. So that's us. We are included in that. And so Jesus prays over his disciples and us that we will all be one. He says, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me, that you love them as much as you love me. And most of the time we look at this as a prayer for unity among the church. And yeah, it's that. But this isn't only about getting along and playing nice. This is about union. Jesus gave us the glory given to him by the Father, which is earth-shattering, mind-blowing. But it was for a reason. So that we could have union with God through Jesus. Jesus describes it like this, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, I am in them, and you are in me. That's what being intertwined with God looks like. This is what union and collaboration looks like. This is what a relationship with God looks like. And only this leads to eternal life. So we've been looking at phrases, sentences in Jesus' last discourse with his friends at the Last Supper. And they are some of the most iconic verses in the Bible. And after this, Jesus departs for the Garden of Gethsemane. And so that is obviously where we are headed with Jesus in the days to come. But let us reflect on what has been said here today and give it the gravity due, because this is what Jesus chose to say, like the last moments of his freedom. And so, Father, we thank you for your word, and Jesus, we thank you for your life and for your love, for your sacrifice, for your kindness, and for showing us the way. Holy Spirit, we invite you to lead us into all truth. As we often say, the truth about ourselves, it starts there. Bring us to face the truth about ourselves. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is the website. It is where you find out what's going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app will do all of that as well. So check it out. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. Check out the different categories that are there in the shop, the different things that are available. Everything from coffee and tea to the God of Your Story, which is a written daily dose of what the Daily Audio Bible is and what we do each day, or the breathing prayer, the book that Jill and myself and Ezekiel wrote to, it's a little prayer for big feelings, and it doesn't really matter how old you are. To any of the number of resources that are in the shop, check them out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. With deep gratitude and humility, thank you. We wouldn't be here if we weren't in this together. So, thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996. Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. Indeed, I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is the Badger from Washington. I've got a couple of prayers from some of the dabbers that I'd like to lift up. Traveling chick from Texas. I can't tell you how many times God's provision has kept me afloat, kept me going. It's just you get those things and you just, there's no other way to describe it other than from the hand of God. And then I would also like to lift up, I believe it was Lynette. She's got brain cancer. She got a diagnosis. I want to lift her up, and I just want to just be with her and comfort her and guide her and just be with them. And then just a couple of praises. Both of my daughters are finally got great jobs, and they are doing well. And I just can't thank this community enough. Thank you, Brian and Jill and the Harden family, for what you do and what you provide. Amen. Badger out.
This is Reformer calling from Florida, and I would like to pray for Anthony, whose request was played on Sunday, a Pentecost Sunday, going through stage 4 cancer and having had to bury your daughter, I assume yesterday, from your message. Lord, I just lift Anthony up to you. First, Father, that you would comfort his grieving heart, that you would be his peace that passes understanding in the midst of losing his daughter. It's never easy to lose a loved one, but especially a child. It's not our natural way of thinking. God, I just pray comfort into him. Your comfort. Holy Spirit, as we celebrate Pentecost today, you are our comforter. please be a comfort to him in this season. And you're also our helper. Lord, I just speak strength into his spirit and strength into his soul and healing into his body as he continues to fight this disease. Lord, I know you brought me through cancer, and what you've done for me, you will do for Anthony. I speak healing into his body. I speak death to every cell in his body that's bringing death to him, and life into his system, life into his cells, life in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I just come to you today. Come to you. You are the great God, the God of all ages, the God who never changes, the one who has said he will never leave us or forsake us. And I come to you praying for Anthony this morning, Lord. I pray, I've never called in before, but I have listened here so many years. And I heard you today, Anthony. My name is Lois. I heard you, and I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you as you deal with this cancer. I'm praying for you as you bury your daughter. Oh, Lord, have mercy and grace and encourage him and give him strength and heal him. And I pray in the mighty name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
This is Julie in Indiana. Lord, we pray for Danielle in Saskatchewan. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would hover over her and give her peace, that as she and her fiance are getting married and all the plans they have to move during this stressful time, Lord, that they will feel your presence, Lord Jesus, that every plan, everything that takes place, every step they take is perfectly ordered by you and filled with your peace, Lord God. We pray especially for her fiance, Lord Jesus, that you would give him such a hunger for your word, Lord God, that he would desire to be immersed in your word every day, and that your Holy Spirit would help him to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ so that he can listen for your voice and trust you completely and cast all his care on you, Lord God, and be able to trust you when all around him is sort of changing in upheaval, that even during this time, that he would find the peace of Christ because he's filled with your word and he can feel your presence. Lord, we ask that you would just cover them during this time and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, DAB. Today is May 22nd. For our church community, the month of May is a prayer month. Each day we take up a specific topic to pray for. Today is the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your Word. We thank you for giving us your Word because it gives us insight as to who you are and what you want us to know and to do. We also praise you for the people that take up the challenge to read the Word of God aloud. We thank you for the daily audio Bible. And Brian and Jill, thank you. They have the heart to do so and the passion to carry it out. We thank you for your word because it tells us who we can run to for healing and solace. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is Grateful in Battleground, Washington.
Greetings, fellow DAB brothers and sisters. I'm calling in a prayer request today, if I may, for my mother, Anna, from Arizona. She has been having issues with nausea, vomiting, and intestinal complications for the last almost month now, I think. We originally thought it was the stomach flu, and then it got better for a few days, or possibly even a week, and then started back up again. She's been affected her day to day and not being able to eat very much, and also not being able to get the nutrients, of course, from lack of eating well Also, she has had to miss some appointments because she's just been feeling miserable enough that she hasn't been able to make them. So I'm asking if you would please pray and ask for healing and or especially God's will in regards to this, that if there's something more going on, it's not just a simple virus or something, that the Lord would lay that upon our hearts and provide discernment and the right doctors to assist with that. Thank you guys for your time. Again, this is for Anna in Arizona. Thank you.